Afghanistan is getting more Western assistance from an unlikely source, the New York Knicks. Now, the Knicks aren't doing too well themselves. In fact, they're in last place in this young NBA season. But their wheelchair franchise team, the New York Rolling Knicks, is sufficiently confident to export its expertise to Afghanistan. 32-year-old Jess Markt is a New York Rolling Knick. He just came back from Kabul. And, Jess, I guess you'll do anything to get away from the stench of your parent team if you go to Kabul. What were you doing there?
I was over there working actually in a town in the north of Afghanistan called Maimana, and I was working with a relatively new wheelchair basketball team there, helping to coach and teach them the game.
And how did that go? I mean, how many people were you coaching? What was the age range?
I was coaching a team of 12 guys, and the age range was between 16 and I'm guessing about 45, with most of the players in their late teens and 20s. And it was great. It was an absolutely fantastic experience. A great group of guys and a good group of players with a lot of potential.
And do they know they know the NBA? Do they know about the New York Knicks? And do they know about the New York Rolling Knicks?
They do now. I think they, as a group, knew very little about the NBA. Basketball is actually not a super popular sport in Afghanistan. But being that these guys all have disabilities of one sort or another, basketball was a game that they could all come together around and try to start learning. So that's how they got into the sport, even though they weren't super familiar with it.
Now, the physiotherapy center in Maimana is managed by the organization International Assistance Mission. Can you tell us a little bit about how some of the players you were working with there, some of the Afghan players, were actually injured?
Yeah, I don't know the stories behind all their injuries, but there was one player who was a paraplegic like me who was injured in a motorcycle accident several years ago when he was a teenager. A couple of the players were amputees, and then many of the players suffered from either conditions from polio or, I think, other birth or disease-related mobility difficulties.
And you yourself, I understand, you became a paraplegic in a car accident when you were 19, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and back when I was living in near Portland, Oregon.
So I imagine there was some discussion among you after you were off the court out of scrimmages about how you kind of cope. Is that right?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. Though the majority of our time was spent on working on basketball stuff, we talked both about our personal situations a little bit as much as we could through the language barrier we were dealing with. And then also, you know, about issues surrounding Afghanistan and where they were living and things like that.
And the town of Maimana, how close is it to some of the fighting in Afghanistan right now?
Well, actually, fortunately, it's sort of on the other end of the country from where a lot of the fighting is focused. So from what I understand, that the majority of the fighting is going on down in the southeastern part of the country near Kandahar and in that area along the Pakistan border. And Maimana is in the northwest corner of the country, actually very close to the Turkmenistan border.
Now, I can't imagine there are too many ramps and things that make life easy for people in wheelchairs. What was it like for you getting around Afghanistan?
Yeah, getting around Afghanistan in a wheelchair was certainly a bit of a trick. Not only are there not ramps or obviously elevators or things like that, but there are actually very few paved roads in the areas that I was in. So it was a lot of wending my chair, which is designed for New York City streets where I live, over a lot of gravel and, you know, dirt roads and mud and dust and things like that. So, yeah, it was a bit of a challenge in that regard.
And what about the guys playing basketball? What kind of wheelchairs do they have? And, you know, are they kind of designed for the local environment?
Well, yeah, the chairs that they have access to are actually designed specifically for that local environment. Unfortunately, the issue is that they're using those chairs for basketball, and the chairs, while they're designed well for getting over and around the terrain in Afghanistan, are designed about as differently from a proper basketball chair as you could want.
What do they actually look like?
If you're familiar with what a racing wheelchair looks like, it's a three-wheeled chair that's sort of long with a front wheel extending out in front of the chair that's a larger front wheel, so which makes the chairs sort of long and not good for turning quickly or moving quickly. It makes for a lot of running into each other and colliding because you can't move them very quickly to avoid other chairs. And not to mention, I think they're constructed completely from steel, so they're extremely heavy as well.
So a lot of accidents on the courts, nothing life-threatening, but I suppose a lot of repairs too.
Yeah, a lot of repairs. Yeah, nobody ever got hurt, and everybody had a very good sense of humor about the whole thing, but daily when we were practicing, at least one chair would have a wheel shear off or some part of the chair break, and between practices one day and the next, they would just weld the chairs back together and trot them back out the next day.
And just for, you know, listeners who don't really know much about wheelchair basketball, what is the biggest difference in terms of rules between wheelchair and regular standing basketball, as you call it?
The only real significant difference is the rule about traveling. So as everybody knows, when you are playing stand-up basketball, regular basketball, you have to dribble the ball while you're moving. And if you pick up the ball and move forward without dribbling, you're called for a travel, and
right,
that's a violation, and you turn the ball over to the other team. So in wheelchair basketball, the difference is that you need to dribble the ball one time every two forward pushes of the chair.
Mm.
So you can hold on to the ball in between pushes, so if you're coasting down the court, and you can pick the ball up, push again, dribble, and pick it up and push again. So there's no double dribble rule, which is a violation if you pick the ball up and then dribble after picking it up in regular basketball.
How are the Afghans with trash talk?
That's actually, it was one of the biggest surprises for me, was the level of dynamism and positivity and energy that I saw from these guys right from the beginning. You know, I went over there, I guess, naively expecting that given the level of challenges these guys were having to deal with on a day-to-day basis, you know, living with disabilities in such a disability-unfriendly environment, that it was going to be a case where I was going to have to really help pull them out of their shells, that they were going to be, you know, quiet, somewhat withdrawn. But playing with them was just like playing with any teammate I've had in the U.S., whether playing basketball in wheelchairs or any sport before I was in a wheelchair. They trash-talked all the time. They were laughing. They were goofing around on each other. Just an amazing group of people with an incredibly positive outlook despite all the challenges they were facing.
Did they teach you how to say, your mama?
I think I was doing my best to remember hello and thank you and sorry. But if I was there for another week, I would have gone to trash-talking lingo.
Jess, cool story.
Thanks very much.
Jess Markt, a small forward on the New York Rolling Knicks basketball team. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.